Like your low testosterone, go to the men's clinic in Madison. Dr. Mike Manning, Dr. Cliff Adams, themanthing.com, the men's clinic. They just built a big man cave. That's basically what the clinic is. It's pretty awesome. They offer other products and services, but you can get a free blood test if you feel like you're low testosterone. Then they'll walk you through what you need to do. Fatigue, sex drive, whatever it is that you're looking to remedy, the men's clinic in Madison, themanthing.com, Dr. Mike Manning and Dr. Cliff Adams, the men's clinic. It's an anti-aging clinic called the men's clinic. We're live in the Bank Plus studio. Want to thank Matt Coulon, Kendall Collins, part of our Mud Bugs team, Out of Bounds team, for cooking some delicious crawfish quesadillas for us this morning. And Mud Bugs will be open in January. Two locations, Reservoir and Brandon. And look forward to that, man. It is, I mean, great place to go and enjoy crawfish. Also a great place to go and grab a couple of sacks of crawfish, take it back to that house and open some cold beer. This segment also brought to you by Parrish Canebrake, which is a delicious beer out of Louisiana. Also, Ghost in the Machine, a double IPA, which is awesome. Their portfolio of beers is wonderful. Parrish Canebrake, Wheat Ale, and Abita Andy Gator, which is also a delicious beer to sip on. And there's some great beers in that Capital City Beverage portfolio to enjoy turkey dressing, cook with, and so on. Abita Pecan, and so on. We're going to welcome in Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, at CFB Matrix on Twitter. Dave was ripping off a bunch of tweets last night. I noticed that this morning when I got up. He goes on a roll. He does, you know, he'll like shoot out 10 of them, and then you may not hear from him for a couple of days, and then he rips off a bunch of them. It's just total, you know, stream of consciousness craziness. Dave Bartu, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Dude, good morning. It was totally sober tweets too.
Really?
I haven't done any drunk tweeting in a while.
Oh man, will you do that this weekend?
I don't know. I'll have to get myself up for it. You know, see if it's. I know it ain't gonna be. I know it ain't gonna be Missouri at South Carolina. That is not getting me up for that.
Just watch Mike Leach's offense. That'll make you drink.
Oh gosh.
Oh hey. Okay. On that. Now. Look, I know the offense ain't that great, okay, numbers-wise, but, like, you look at this Georgia team. Look, Georgia's offense, I got them ranked 84th in scoring efficiency in college football.
That's hard
well.
To do at Georgia. Wow.
At Georgia, okay. Now, Mississippi State's 111th, okay, so don't get me wrong. It ain't, you know, we're not pooping roses in Starkville either. But, you know, but on the defensive side, you got 26 versus 34. You got 84 versus 111. It's almost. I even think I tweeted that yesterday.
You did.
It's the teams on paper. These are kind of mirror images. Poor offenses, real good defenses, real good defenses. And then I've said it a bunch of times on your show. I think the biggest surprise of the SEC season is how well State's defense has performed this year. It is the 1-2. Fourth highest ranked defense on paper in the SEC, so it's done a great job, you know, and so I think that's solid there. But you know, Georgia's offense is bad, but the must not see TV of the week is there's no question it is the 73rd offense and 121st defense of South Carolina. Going up against
awful.
Drinkwitz. No, now here's the thing. It's awful, right? Missouri is 118th in offense and 100th on defense.
Damn.
Missouri sucks.
Wow.
Okay. The only one that's worse is Vanderbilt, which is rolling out a double 119.
Oh, God.
Okay. They Vanderbilt's rolling the 120-sided offense and defensive dice, and they are popping 119s on both of them. Vanderbilt is more than hot garbage.
So Mississippi State is 111.
Yep.
Missouri's 118, and Vandy is 119 on offense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah. This is kind of one of those things that happens, too, when nobody gets four conference games to get going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the flip side, okay, last year I was looking at these numbers because I'm trying to figure out what the scheduling difference is making. I'm also trying to figure out, here's the big question, and anybody listening, I'm going to give this is a 15-second side question. If you're listening, how do I try to use the numbers to figure out home field advantage impact? Think about that. Tweet it at me, at CFB Matrix on Twitter. Tweet me your ideas to try to figure out inside the numbers what home field does and doesn't mean this year. Okay. So, but back to the other thing. So at the end of the college football season last year, in total team scoring efficiency, so offense plus defense, because you know there's two sides to a scoreboard, it's not just offense. 16 out of the top 20 teams in the FBS were Power Five. This year, right now, 14 of the 20 are G5. So the Power Fives aren't getting the 3-4 non-conference games, and the G5s aren't having to play them. So the one thing that I'm seeing is absolutely 100% for sure is that the numbers are completely skewed, and the G5s look like they are absolute giant killers right now because they haven't had to play any Power 5 teams.
Day bar two on the Out of Bounds show, the numbers powered by the Golden Moon Casino Sportsbook. All right, bar two, who is between Mississippi State and Georgia? Or is there a team in the SEC? Is Arkansas there, or are they better?
Arkansas's a flip. Okay, so by the numbers, okay.
What I'm trying to find out is who is the, you just told me 14, 13, 12. Who is the 11th worst offensive scoring efficiency team in the SEC?
Once you get past South Carolina, well, it's Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Missouri are your three worst right there.
And then Mississippi State?
And then Mississippi State is, then it's a big jump. Okay, then it's a big jump to, because everybody else does something pretty good, okay? With Arkansas has the 95th offense.
Okay.
And the 48th defense. I mean, Arkansas and Mississippi State are, you know, when you look at the numbers, you know, everybody can go, well, look at the record. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Sometimes the ball bounces your way and your numbers are still bad. You know, it's like Texas A&M. 33rd on offense, 82nd on defense, massively overrated, but they won all but one of their games, you know? And with Arkansas, you have a poor offense there as well. Almost equally as poor as, Mississippi State. But the defense, actually Mississippi State's defense, on paper, has been more efficient. Maybe from the standpoint of now keep in mind, like with defense, you know how Kentucky scored? Did they have one pick six, two? How many? I lost track.
Kentucky had, I know, one pick six against Mississippi State.
Right. Yeah,
they may have had two. I can't remember.
I factored those things out. Because to me, it's not a reflection of a defense, because a pick six, a fumble six, a punt, a return for a touchdown, a kick return for a touchdown, these are anomalies. They don't happen very often. They don't happen consistent enough to say that's going to happen every game or even every other game. So I throw those things out for those going, hey, wait a minute, those numbers don't sound right. So I throw out all that stuff that just doesn't happen on a consistent basis but may end up costing you a football game, which skews the record. you know, and especially this year with so few games being played, it's magnified even more. So you got a team like Arkansas. I would put so the next tier. So we went through the three worst.
Vandy, hold on, tier, Vandy, Missouri, South Carolina, Mississippi State, starting from 14 going to 1 on offense.
Going to 1. Well, and Mississippi State and Arkansas are basically the same team.
Okay.
There's really no difference there.
Okay.
There really isn't. And then you go down to your Ole Miss, not much of a difference there either. 25th on offense, 97th on defense. It's literally like...
So they're phenomenal, you know, on offense.
Yeah,
but
and equally crappy on defense.
Blake, you have a question for Dave Bartu on the Out of Bounds Show?
What would the number need to be for Ole Miss to be competing, maybe not against Alabama, but at least for second place in the West this year?
Ooh, I like that question.
Like 50th on defense, 60th?
Yeah, that'd probably
low, be. 30th? Where would they need to be?
Okay, so Alabama nationally is at 7-20. And that's all of FBS. And most of the FBS is G5s up top. So Alabama's right near is top three in offense. Let's go with the next teams. A&M. See, A&M and Ole Miss look about the same. I would say Ole Miss is probably if Ole Miss had Mississippi State's defensive coordinator, they'd be right there. Seriously, you take Ole Miss offense and Mississippi State defense, and you have you got the number two team in the West.
Wow.
Easily, in my opinion, easily, because you go down the list. Auburn, terrible offense, 42nd on defense, which is basically the same thing as Tennessee. The Tennessee Auburn game is two offenses in the 80s, two defenses in the 40s.
That's incredible. Auburn,
okay,
and Tennessee, their offenses, they're both top 15 recruiters. That's pathetic. Of course, it's pathetic that Georgia's in the 80s. They're a top five recruiter. Maybe even Bartu has moved them into top three, and they're 84th for our listeners.
Well,
that's unacceptable. Golly.
Now, Georgia has had the unfortunate circumstance of playing arguably the two best Power Five offenses in college football this year, Florida and Alabama.
Got it.
No, you know, the other one you throw in there is Oklahoma. Those are your three best offensive teams. Okay, so far.
See, I thought Ole Miss, the way they've been rolling, and I haven't looked at this. You got it in front of you. When you told me Ole Miss was 25th, I thought you were going to tell me Ole Miss was like 8th or 11th, the way that they've been running up scores and yards and TDs. But anyway.
Well, and part of that, now remember, I don't look at it as a function of points, total points on the board. Okay. It's a function of scoring efficiency. So me, it is about the points per play adjusted for the defense that you're facing. Okay. Now, Ole Miss has faced a who's who of crappy defenses. The other thing that has really benefited Ole Miss is they've faced crappy offenses. So when you have an offense that gets off the field quick, guess what? You give the ball back to the other team. Ole Miss has just run a ton. Now, they've scored a ton of points. Okay, don't get me wrong. But they've also run a ton of plays in doing so and worn the hell out of other teams.
I
think part of you got to look at just the big picture, because you could say, because I can go right now, I can go, hey, BYU is top 10 in scoring efficiency in offense and defense, not adjusted for their schedule. Well, their schedule is MAC light. You know, I mean, everybody in the SEC should go 10-0 with that schedule and blow the hell out of everybody. So part of it is you got to take that next step and not just look at, let's say, the points scored, but who they were scored against, and not just the defense, the offense that they're facing too, because these things go hand in hand. It's yin and yang, baby.
Mm-hmm. That is unbelievable. So as Bartu is walking us through numbers here, Dave Bartu at CFB Matrix on Twitter, he joins us on the Abita Andy Gator guest line. Georgia, the way they've recruited, who they are, uh-huh. They're the only team in the state. They have the whole thing to themselves because Georgia Tech doesn't count. They're the monster, and yet they're 84th on offense. Why would anyone believe that Kirby is going to, quote unquote, get it done there? I just don't see it.
He had a shot, didn't he?
Yep.
Totally blew it. Totally blew it. Tua just ripped his freaking heart out. Stomped on it. Never coming back. It's gone. That ship sailed, right? I mean, that's what it feels like. It feels like he can't find the right offensive coordinator and let him go.
Right.
And how many times have we talked about it on the show at the beginning of the season? Will Kirby let this offensive coordinator go? No.
No.
No, it all seems to be held back, and he doesn't hire a good one anyways. I told you Monken wasn't no good. And now their season's over. See, now they're playing for nothing, too. So you don't – Georgia, Penn State, Michigan – man, these teams, especially this year, I mean, their souls were crushed early. So, you know, when you're –
what
do
you
–
let's – I want to come back to the SEC in just a second, but I want to take 1 minute and get your thoughts on what's going on at Penn State. We get that Michigan's been a train wreck through three good coaches, two of them really good, and Rich Rod and Harbaugh. So it's – as you said 2 weeks ago, there's something there. We just can't put our finger on it, but it's something in the water.
Right.
What is going on with James Franklin and Penn State, Dave?
I don't know. They don't know. Seriously, nobody knows. You know, it wasn't for lack of effort, lack of coaching, lack of continuity, maybe a little bit of lack of continuity. Remember, they lost their offensive coordinator in the offseason.
And Moorhead
hired
2 years ago.
One. Yeah, more 2 years ago. So now they're on their third offensive coordinator in 4 years. Now it was a really good hire. But if you look at all the teams, just about everybody that is struggling, okay, had no coaching continuity, okay? And you look at it in your backyard, Arkansas, 95th in offense, new offensive coordinator, and new defensive coordinator, who's 50th, all right? Mississippi State, like I said, it's amazing what the defense has done, but the offense obviously hasn't been there. You know, Ole Miss, another transition. Defense isn't there. Probably the biggest anomaly in the SEC is A&M. They're not good on defense, and I would have not bet Elko was ever going to be this bad in his life on defense. So with Penn State, you got a new offensive coordinator. You got playoff dreams, right? I think Penn State fell apart the instant that touchdown that was short against Indiana was called a touchdown. That the dream was crushed, right? You lose to Indiana on your opening game, and this is a team that outgained Indiana going into overtime like 500-100. They killed them. They just had some really, really inopportune turnovers that kept Indiana in it, went into overtime. Indiana won it on the last play of the football game, and the dream was crushed. Okay, has Georgia been even close to expectations since their dream was crushed by Alabama? No.
No. All right, really. So let's go back. Right. I want to throw this out at you. We've got 5 more minutes with Dave Bartu on the Out of Bounds show. South Carolina's open. Dave Bartu's the athletic director. I'm going to throw a bunch of names at you. Do you hire Hugh Freeze, Jeff Brohm, Tom Allen, or Billy Napier?
The last one I'd hire is Hugh Freeze. That's the last one I'd hire, okay? Because Hugh has not shown the ability to find the other side of the football. I know everybody loves the offense, okay, and the offensive coordinator and the wow, pulling the upset, okay? But Hugh also was the worst at being the favorite in the SEC and losing football games. And it was largely, my opinion, because of his inability to find the defensive coordinator. He played the game of, I'm just going to outscore and not worry about defense. So you look at Liberty this year, top 20 in offensive scoring efficiency, bottom 30, 92nd in defense, okay? You go to a Tom Allen. Now, the numbers don't jump out, but they're balanced. He plays both sides of the football. I like that, you know, because I know the AD came out and said, hey, I'm looking for an offensive-oriented guy. Okay. Personally, I'd be looking for a guy that can hire a great offensive and defensive coordinator. That's really what I want. I want a CEO that knows how to hire guys like Mario Cristobal, like Nick Saban. These guys know how to hire X's and O's guys.
Dabo.
So, Tom, yeah, Dabo, X's and O's guys. Be the CEO and just go out and get me the best play calling talent available. Okay? So that's the way I see that. So Hugh, I haven't talked to him or, you know, that group at all, but to me, that's the deficiency, is the ability to hire that defensive coordinator. Okay? And right now in the SEC East, that might work for a little while because the offenses are all so bad, you could simply outscore for most of those teams for a certain period of time. Tom Allen, very balanced. Offense and defense is very even in efficiency. Not sexy, not glamorous or anything like that. Recruiting at Indiana has been about the same, so he hasn't bumped that up significantly. You go with the Billy Napier, balanced on both sides. He's been able to show he can hire the coaches and coach the guys, and Louisiana's recruiting profile has increased. So, and then who is the other guy?
Jeff Brohm.
Jeff Brohm. You're not getting him. Let's just not even talk about that.
Okay.
I mean, in all seriousness, here's a guy that is a Louisville Cardinal and turned down the Louisville Cardinal job. That is the third best recruiter in that division. The ability to win at Louisville is much better than South Carolina. South Carolina, yeah, pays a lot more money, but you ain't winning as many games. It's going to be a bumpier road. So to me, Jeff Brohm is waiting for Georgia, Florida, is waiting for LSU, Alabama, is waiting for Penn State, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that to me.
Texas,
that's what he's telling me.
If Herman doesn't
work. Yeah, Texas, Oklahoma. You know, when you're at Purdue and you turn down your alma mater, which I don't know about you, that seems like the coolest damn thing in the world, is to be walking around your alma mater's campus and you are the man.
No doubt.
That's just too cool. I'd take a hometown discount to do that. I'd love to be in Eugene every day.
Yeah.
You know, I feel young going back to college, you know, going back to games and tailgating. It's wonderful. So I think you throw him out. It's just not in the conversation. But based on what they've done and what I want to see balance offense and defense, a guy that's proven to be able to hire the X's and O's guys that accelerate at a high level and impact recruiting in order. Napier, Allen, Breeze.
Okay. I've got 1 minute. Could we argue that South Carolina's a better job than Michigan today?
Ooh, better paying maybe? I don't think the potential's there.
Okay.
No, I really don't. I'd say they're about even.
Okay.
They really are. You know, you're talking about the number three recruiter, top 20 recruiter, but always the bridesmaid, never the bride. You got two teams above you that are going to be always really tough to beat.
We'll leave it there. Our friend Dave Bartu at CFB Matrix on Twitter. Also got the Patreon account rocking. Thanks, Bartu. Appreciate it, dude.
Peace, brother.
Want to thank Matt Coulon and Kendall Collins with Mudbugs for surprising me in studio with amazing crawfish quesadillas. And Mudbugs will be open in January at the Reservoir and in Brandon. Thanks for listening to the Out of Bounds Show. Don't forget Chris Corley, Angel Oak Home Loans. He'll refinance your home for you. Chris Corley, Angel Oak Home Loans. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, Kessler Prime has the best steaks in Mississippi and an amazing bourbon and wine selection. Kessler Prime in the Renaissance. They also have 6 private dining rooms that seat anywhere between 12 and 100 people at Kessler Prime in the Renaissance. So, treat yourself to a bone-in filet, a ribeye, or a New York strip at Kessler Prime in the Renaissance, and go to KesslerPrime.com to make a reservation.